Good morning and welcome to Grace Baptist Church. I'm glad that you all have come in. You're very welcome. The weather's kinder to us this week than it was last week. And I thank you for all that came out to the carol service last Sunday evening on a blustery cold night. And this morning we were continuing our Advent series, and this morning it is called The Gift of the Gospel. We'll be looking at three passages from the Gospel of John. Now, when someone asks you, what do you mean by the Gospel, how do you respond? If you remember the beginning of our Romans series, Paul gave a definition in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, meaning the gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, meaning the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the gospel only comes from God and is only received by those who have faith to believe. Belief is faith. It is trust in knowing that God will provide salvation because God is true to His word. So as we unpack the understanding of salvation, then we realize that salvation only goes through Jesus Christ. The faith we have to believe is faith that what Christ did through His death, burial, and resurrection is enough. Now when we take all of that and condense it to the core, the gospel is Jesus. It is His gospel. The gospel is what Jesus said He would do. The gospel is why Jesus came to earth, to be the perfect gift as the perfect Passover lamb for our sins. He came to be the light that shines in this world, the only true light that pushes away the darkness of sin. And He came as a witness of God's truth. All three reasons make up the gospel story. Christ was the gift of eternal life for all who believe by faith. That is the gospel message. And now we're going to look this morning at three times in John's gospel where Jesus referred to His birth and His reason for being sent by God the Father. He mentioned this at the beginning of His ministry, then near the end of His ministry, and just before, and then the last time, just before He went to the cross. Now, it takes a lot of humility to accept that what you have believed was wrong, or at least that there was a piece missing, that you didn't quite have it. Now, my grandfather was an evangelist, a missionary, and pastor during his 50-plus years of ministry. Nearly all of that time, he worked with churches and a belief system that said that you received salvation through Jesus Christ when you had faith and believed in Him. That is true. That is what we believe. But he also believed in that denomination he was in, believed that the gift of the Holy Spirit came at a subsequent time, a different time. And when you received that second gift, they call it, or the second blessing, you were closer to being sinless, or you were. So many believed you were sinless from that time on. That is not biblical, and that is not what we believe. Now, late in life, he was talking to my mom, and he had been watching our pastor in California preach. He had been listening to some of his sermons, watching some of his sermons. And he wanted to check out our church to make sure that we were in a good church. I don't know the facts exactly, but something triggered in my grandfather's mind, and he changed his theology and accepted that the Holy Spirit did indeed indwell you when you accepted Christ as Savior at that moment, which is what we believe. And he also changed his theology in that we still continue to sin as imperfect human beings. And it's only through God's grace and forgiveness that will cover all our sins until we are with Him in heaven. Now that took a lot of humility on his part, to make that change so late in life, to understand that he had didn't quite have all the facts, or didn't have it quite all correct. He wanted his theology to be correct so that he was honoring God. Well, late at night, a man came to Jesus, desiring the same thing. This man had much to lose if other people found out that he was talking to Jesus. Not just talking to Jesus, but being taught by Jesus. Because in John chapter 3, it says, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus, calling him Rabbi, which means teacher, and asked him questions. So by referring to Jesus as Rabbi, he was acknowledging Jesus' authority, and he was submitting to Jesus' teaching. Now, if the Pharisees found out about this, he could have lost his status within the community. His main question was, how can a man be born again? Now, Jesus at first explained in what seems like a riddle or a proverb in verses 5 to 8, and I'll let you read through those. He said that in order to see if Nicodemus understood. What Nicodemus did not understand, Jesus replied in verse 10, you are a teacher of the law, a teacher of Israel, yet you do not understand. So Jesus then went back to the basics. For someone who is questioning their theology, it is best to go back to the basics to understand the foundational truths of why we believe what we believe. And that is where Jesus goes, and this is his first reference to his birth. Jesus speaks of himself. And it is a good exercise to read through verses 16 to 18 of John 3 in this way to get a better idea of what Jesus was saying. So I'm going to read John 3, 16 to 18, but I'm going to emphasize and just make it seem personal, because Jesus said everything more in the third person instead of the first person. So anyway, let me read through it. I've also got it on the screen for you to see. For God so loved the world that he gave me, his only Son, that whosoever believes in me should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send me, his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through me. Whoever believes in me is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in me is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God, which is me, Jesus Christ. See, these verses are the best way for me to explain the gospel. And I am humbled when I realized that Jesus was referring to himself. Did Nicodemus understand this? Did he realize that Jesus was talking about himself? God loved this world. That is mind-boggling all by itself. What has this world done to deserve God's attention, let alone his love? The answer to that is nothing. Nothing. This world has done nothing to deserve God's love. This world has rejected God. It's denied God. It rebukes God. It's done vile things in the name of God. It has opposed God. It has mocked God. The greatest mockery of God is when man takes something from creation which God had created, whether it's stone or wood or metal, and fashions a statue or idol from it and worships that thing as their God. That's the world that God pours his love into. God loves this stubborn, rebellious world so much that he gave his only Son, Jesus. He gave Jesus, who would face the same rejection and rebelliousness of this world while in human form, eventually being hung to die on a cross. That's the world that God loves. Yet the gift given is eternal life for all who believe in the Son, all who believe in Jesus. Jesus was telling Nicodemus, look at my face. Look into my eyes. Do you see just another man, or do you see the Son of God?" Jesus was telling Nicodemus to see the Son of God, that he was the one whom all Israel had been waiting. Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Believe in me and live, or do not believe in me and be condemned. Then Jesus referred to himself as the light that enters into the world, and he will make that reference more personal later in John 12. So in John 12, verses 46 to 48, Jesus said, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day." See, the problem that man has had since creation is that man is more concerned with the opinions of other men and not of God. Man wants the praise and recognition from other men instead of the love that comes from God. Now, Jesus came at a time that may have been the most spiritually dark since just before the flood. Because at the moment of Jesus' birth, it had been about 500 years since the last word of the Lord had come through the prophet Malachi. Israel had lost their way. They had become spiritually complacent. They were trusting in their own strength, their own heritage. They were trusting in the strength of Rome, in the protection of Rome. They were swayed by all the various pagan religions of that day. Only a few were staying faithful and vigilant, remaining faithful to the coming Messiah. The religious leaders had lost their way. They were more concerned with their status among the people rather than leading the Jews in worship of their God. Jesus had just been teaching, and the people were questioning. When you look at John 12, Jesus was met with a great deal of unbelief. But the few that did believe were more worried about what other people thought. So they actually hid their belief. They were ashamed for other people to know that they believed or that they were following Jesus. So they stayed in the spiritual darkness instead of embracing the light of Christ. Now John wrote just a few verses earlier, starting in verse 42, he says, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." For the second time, Jesus declared why he came. "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Jesus is the solution to the problem. And why do people continue to remain in the darkness? I mean, there are people in Killarney, throughout Ireland, and all over the world who do know that Jesus is the light, that Jesus is the Son of God, yet they fear changing what they were taught. They fear going against their culture. They fear going against their family. They fear changing from the traditions of man and embracing the light of Christ. And Jesus warned about the traditions of men when Pharisees questioned him. Jesus rebuked them and he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your own tradition." And Paul warned about following traditions instead of Christ. In Colossians 2:8, when Paul said, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirit of the world, and not according to Christ." Because a tradition is something that man adds that's not in the Bible. And too much of church history is filled with things that man has added that is not in the Bible. And that's an extra burden upon people. And it mainly it adds guilt on people that they should never have to be guilty of in the first place. And Jesus, being the light in this dark world, was bringing salvation for all who believes. That salvation is what saves us from spiritual darkness. That is why Christ came, to reveal the light of the gospel. He was the light of the gospel in the flesh. In our verses, Jesus said, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." See, Jesus' first coming, his first incarnation, was for salvation. He was born into this world to bring salvation for all who believe. Judgment will come later on that last day, because he says, "The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day." When Christ returns at his second coming, that will be the beginning. That's when judgment begins, and it will end on the final day. That will be the separation of those who have accepted him, believed in him by faith, and those who rejected him. Those who knew the truth, but refused to accept the truth. Those who knew the truth but were ashamed to embrace the truth because they valued the glory of man more than the glory that comes from God. Christ came as light to be light of the world, to pierce the darkness of the sin of this world so that people would be saved. One of the best examples of this is when Jesus met Zacchaeus. Luke 19 tells the story. This was near the end of Jesus' ministry, and as he was approaching Jerusalem. And it says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.'" Zacchaeus was a man who lived in the darkness of this world. He was wealthy because he was a dishonest man. Yet he had learned, he had heard about Jesus, and he knew that there was something different about him. He was seeking to see Jesus. He went out of his way to get a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus called him down and went to his home. The light of the gospel entered the darkness of Zacchaeus' world. Jesus didn't go to the homes of Pharisees or priests. He didn't seek to go to those homes. He was invited, but he didn't seek to go to them because they should know the light of the gospel. They should have been leading people to the Messiah. They should have known who Jesus was. No, Jesus did not go to them. He went to the lost. His ministry was to seek and to save the lost. Judgment will come later. Judgment happens when people reject Christ. Jesus came to save the world from their sins, to save people out of the spiritual darkness and into the light of Christ. Now, how do we recognize the difference between Christ and the world? It's truth. One is truth and one is a lie. One is the light and one is the darkness. And Jesus told one man what his life's purpose was all about, to bear witness to the truth. Christmas is born in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Born a babe in Bethlehem, the life Jesus lived and gave alone makes it possible for humanity to know peace with God. The eternal Son was born into the created world, so that the heaven, so that heaven might be known on earth. He came to save humanity not only from the penalty of sin by his death, but from the power of sin by his resurrection. Jesus stood before Pilate moments before his crucifixion. Jesus twice proclaimed that my kingdom is not of this world. For this purpose I was born. So then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? Jesus' purpose for leaving heaven to come to this world as an infant was to bear witness to the truth. And the truth is everything concerning God, God's love for humanity, God's plan of salvation, God's judgment for those who reject him, and God's eternal mercy and grace for those who receive him. This moment between Jesus and Pilate is a prime example of why Jesus came and why man fails. It is an example of the problem of the world and the solution to the problem. Pilate represents humanity standing face to face with Jesus and not recognizing who he is, not recognizing the truth incarnate. Jesus represents himself and the truth that is everything about God, but most importantly, he is the only salvation that is offered. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way, the truth, and the life was standing before Pilate. And all Pilate could say is, what is truth? He was spiritually blind. Eternal life was before him and he couldn't see it. Jesus was the perfect blend, only ever blend of human and divine natures. Theologian Mark Jones explained Christ's incarnation in this way. He said, the Creator is identified with a creature. In Christ we see eternity and temporality, eternal blessedness and temporal sorrow, omnipotence and weakness, omniscience and ignorance, unchangeableness and change, infinity and finite. All of these contrasting attributes come together in the person of Jesus Christ. God cannot commune with man except by some form of voluntary condescension. Such a divine stooping in the incarnation was not only voluntary, but also the most glorious possibility, because through Christ we are brought to God. Our old pastor in California said that Jesus was 100% man as if he was not God at all, and 100% God as if he was not man at all. So think of it this way. If Jesus were in all things only a man, he would be at an infinite distance from God just as we are. In the same way, if Jesus were in all things only God, he would be an infinite distance from us. But as our mediator, he bridges the gap between the infinite God and finite man. All that belongs to God, Jesus possesses, and all that makes someone truly human, Jesus possesses. So we go back to Jesus and Pilate. Think about that moment. Jesus, 100% God and 100% man, standing before Pilate and submitting to his flawed judgment. Pilate represents all humanity, weak, finite, sinful, and without hope. And he didn't see Jesus for who he was. Whether it was political pressure, cultural pressure, pride and arrogance, or the spiritual blindness, he did not see and acknowledge the truth that was standing in front of him. So what do we do with Jesus? Three times in John, Jesus referred to why he came to earth. First, he came as a gift from God. The gospel in the form of a child. Have faith and believe in Jesus and you will have eternal life. It's truly that simple. It's a gift. Just receive it. But what do we do with Jesus? Second, he said he was the light, so that whoever believes in him would not remain in the darkness. Again, it's the gift of the gospel. And we must have faith and believe in Jesus. Then we have eternal life instead of eternal darkness. But what do we do with Jesus? Third, he said his purpose for being born and his purpose for coming into this world was to be a witness to the truth. The truth of the gospel. God loves this world so much that he gave Jesus, his son, as a gift, as a light in the darkness, as the truth that turns away all lies. All we must do is believe in the truth of the gospel, believe in the light of Christ, believe in the only Son of God, and we will be saved. We sang What Child Is This early this morning. In this song and many other nativity songs, Christmas songs, I feel the immense tension between the divine and the human natures of God. Now think about this for a moment. Jesus willingly gave himself to be in an infant form of his own creation. He became part of his own creation. Such humility to lower himself in so many different ways. He has experienced every form of being a human. He did not just pop into Mary's womb as a fully developed fetus, but started from the single cell as the Holy Spirit caused the creation of human life to start. The baby with the little chubby fingers that grasped one of Joseph's rough carpenter fingers, that little hand that grasped just one of his fingers, was the same person who spoke creation into being. This is the Savior that we can believe in because of the salvation that he brings. What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds are watch are keeping? Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear, for sinners here the silent word is pleading. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste, to bring him praise, the babe, the son of Mary. Will you believe this Christmas and accept his gift of salvation? Accept that he is the light of the world, and accept that he is the truth that only leads to eternal life.